In the house of the Lord tonight. I was expecting to get to hear Brother Ken, but I'm honored to get to scotch for him. And preacher, thank you for letting me preach. Amen. I'm honored. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, the book of Job. Job chapter 42. I know that it's pronounced Job and not Job because 6% of Americans wouldn't be able to find it. Some of them wouldn't look for it. And even others would rather I read it to them for free. It's not the book of Job. You say, preacher, I've got to go to work in the morning. I'm tired. I ain't come to church. Bless God to hear somebody preaching out of the book of Job. No, it's Job. Job. And so you can relax tonight. Job chapter number 42. If you love your Bible, say amen. Aren't you glad we've got a book tonight? Aren't you glad God just didn't leave us to figure it out on our own? But He gave us a book. Hallelujah. And I thank God for my Bible. Job chapter number 42. Let's begin reading in verse number 1 and read down to verse number 10. And we'll pray and then you can have a seat. Job chapter number 42 and verse number 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that Thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from Thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech Thee, and I will speak. I will demand of Thee, and declare Thou unto me. I have heard of Thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth Thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Hallelujah goes right there. Somebody say amen. Honey, Isaiah saw Him high and lifted up. And then the next verse the Bible said, Isaiah said, woe is me. That when you see God, that has that effect on you. Somebody say amen. Let's begin again in verse number 7. And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that you have not spoken of me the thing that is right, like my servant Job. So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, went and did as according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Let's stop reading right there in verse number 10. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you tonight for the word of God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the sweet spirit that's in the house of God. I pray, Lord, that you do what you do and be who you are. Lord, preaching was your idea. I pray that it would do exactly what you intended for it to do, and it would be exactly what you intend for it to be. And we'll give you all the glory and all the credit, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. May be seated. I want you to notice with me here as we now come to the last chapter of the book of Job. You Bible readers are familiar with this man Job. You know that the Bible said that he got up one morning. He was the wealthiest man in all the land. He was blessed of God, provided for and protected. God's stamp of approval was upon this man, and it was evident to everybody everybody around him. He was blessed and prosperous, this man Job. He got up that morning, the richest man in all the land, but he went to bed that night and he was a pauper. He didn't have a thing. His money was gone. His wealth, everything that he had, was gone. His 7 sons and 3 daughters were dead and buried. His wife had lost her mind, and Job's health had left him. This man went from being the most blessed man to being the most miserable individual that we've ever read about in the Word of God. Somebody say amen. Job entered into a deep, dark valley. Would you say amen to that? Would you say amen to the fact that Job has passed into a storm in his life? A valley, if you will. I want to say this to you now. We've come to chapter 42. Hallelujah. I about can't contain myself, preacher, because chapter 42 is when Job gets out of his trouble. Somebody help me now. Aren't you glad, thank God, that valleys aren't meant to stay in? Let me say this to you tonight. You can't live in your valley. You can't stay in your storm. Those things were not meant to live in. They come, but they go. David did not say, yea, though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death. He didn't say, yea, though I walk to the valley, but he said, yea, though I walk through the valley. He said, if I start in it on this side, I'm sure to come out of it on the other side. And valleys are meant to pass through, not stay there. Now, you and I, we all know somebody that if they didn't have problems, they wouldn't have anything to talk about. Come on, somebody. I pastored long enough to understand that the testimony services for some folks were all gloom and despair. Somebody has to say amen. And you dare not call on them to sing. It'd be something like, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Does anybody remember what I'm talking about? Deep, dark depression, massive misery. Come on, somebody. If they didn't have problems in their life, they wouldn't have anything to testify about. They wouldn't have anything to talk about. But let me say this to you, that there is a danger in staying in your storm. You cannot dwell in that valley. You can't remain there. There has to be a time, hallelujah. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Yes, God will. The path of righteousness in Psalm 23 leads us down into the valley of the shadow of death. But we'll come out of that valley. There's storms, but they come to pass. They did not come to stay. Somebody say amen. And we come to Job chapter number 42. And Job is finally about to get out of his trouble. He's about to leave this valley behind. Ain't you glad of it? Amen. I want to preach a little while tonight on when Job got his help. When Job got help. And give you just several things tonight very quickly. I want you to notice, first of all, Job got him some help. Verse number five, there was a glorious revelation. Look at what verse number five said. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Somebody say amen. Thank God Job has finally... Do you remember the trials of Job? All the problems that Job had? And on top of everything that happened in Job's life, the worst of all his troubles was that he could not find God. Have you ever been in a valley and could not find God? It seems to make things worse. Amen. In Job chapter number 23 and verse number 3, he said, oh, that I might find him. Amen. He wants to know where God is. You see, up until this time in his life, God's presence had been right there. He was able to feel the presence of God. Are y'all with me? He was able to... I'm glad you can feel the presence of God. You can sense His presence. You can know when He's there. And up until this time in his life, Job could feel God, and he knew where he was, and he knew exactly where God was in his life. But when Job's troubles came, Job's trials came upon him, the worst part of it was that he could not find God. Amen. But finally, thank God, you new Bible readers know, in chapter number 38, the Bible said the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind. Hallelujah. Now, I'm from Alabama. Whirlwinds makes me nervous. Can I get a witness? I'm talking about tornadoes, honey. Amen. Do you know in Alabama, do you know what a tornado and a divorce has in common? Somebody's losing a trailer. Can I get a witness? Now, y'all help me. I'm scared of them, preacher. Somebody say amen. I'm afraid of them. I mean, when them sirens go to going off, I find me a hole to get into. What I'm trying to say to you is, in the state of Alabama, we don't really see God in the whirlwind. Most folks can't see God in the whirlwind. I want to tell you something about your troubles. Your troubles can do one of two things to you. That valley can do one of two things. It'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better. Hallelujah. It'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better. And do you know what the difference is between the people who come out of their trouble better as opposed to becoming bitter? Do you know what the difference is between those two? It's those who come out of their storm and come out of their valley with a bitterness about them, with a strength about them. It's because they can see the hand of God in the midst of their trouble. Honey, do you know why people come to get bitter? And they get bitter at God's people. And they get bitter at the house of God. And they get bitter at God Himself. It's because they cannot see God in their trouble. God answered Job out of a whirlwind. I imagine he was sitting there. You know the story. He was sitting there in a pile of burnt things. Used to be blessings. Don't make me go back to chapter 1 now. We ain't got time to teach Sunday school. I'm taking for granted that y'all know it's not the book of Job. It's Job. Amen. He's sitting there in a pile of ashes. In a pile of burnt things. Used to be blessings, but they're all spent up. Come on, somebody. And he's sitting there with the burnt things. And he's scratching himself with the broken things. Oh, he was scraping himself with broken pottery. I imagine, Brother Adam, those vessels that Job was using to pop those balls were once vessels of honor that he used to bring God an offering unto the Lord to the altar. But now the blessings are spent. The offerings are burnt and the vessels are broken. And he sits there and he can't find God. And then here comes a tornado. Come on, somebody. We're changing his nickname from Lucky to something else. Amen. He's got boils from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. His wife is back there gnawing on a pine limb because she can't figure out what's going on. She said, "Won't you curse God and die?" And I'm glad Job had enough sense not to get down on his wife. But he said, "Woman," he said, "you speak as one of the foolish women." He didn't call her a foolish woman. Hallelujah. You don't know why. Hallelujah. I'm pushing pause on the sermon to help the women. It's because mamas ain't supposed to bury babies. She buried 7 sons and 3 daughters. And she was going through something that nobody else knew what she was going through. And when somebody's in a valley that deep and that dark, it's best not to call them names. And if God was mad at her, He had a funny way of showing it. I'll get to that in a minute. Here he sits. His wife's lost her mind. Everything he's got's gone. He's got these balls. And his 3 best friends in the world show up. And they've done real good for the first 7 days. They didn't say a word. May we take some advice? May we take some counseling advice for the first 7 days. Let me say something to you. You see somebody going through something, you ain't got to say nothing to them. Stop worrying about what to say. Just sit down there with them. And when they cry, cry with them. And if they laugh, laugh with them. It ain't about saying something. It's about staying somewhere. Just sit down there with them. But his friends turned on him. And now, here comes a tornado. And I bet he's thinking, good. Just finish me off. Just snatch me up. Slang me three counties over into a pine thicket. Make sure and break my neck. Amen. Job's like, I'm done. I mean, here comes the tornado. But I'm going to tell you something. God started talking out of it. You don't know how you'll get you some help, neighbor, if you'll start listening for the voice of God in the midst of your whirlwind. If you'll start listening for the voice of God in the midst of your valley, honey, it won't be long. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. Many are the affliction of the righteousness, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. I know you think God don't know where you're at, but He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. God knows where you are. He'll come to you in the darkest hour of the midnight, walking on the water. If need be, He'll be there for you. He will show up. Hallelujah. There was a glorious revelation. Look at chapter 42 now. Look at verse number 1. Verse number 2. I know that thou canst do everything. You don't know when Job got his help, when he got his eyes off of his trouble and fixed them on his God. Somebody say amen. Don't worry about what you can do. Hallelujah. Up until this point, Job was worried about what he could do. I can't do this, and I can't do that. And honey, that'll control you. You'll sit there in that valley. You'll die. You'll die in the desert. You will die in the waste, hell, and desert of your valley unless you get your eyes off of what you can do. Put them on what he can do. You can't do anything. Job said, thou canst do everything. Honey, let's quit worrying about what we don't know and focus on what we do know. Job didn't know why his kids was dead. Job didn't know why his money was gone. Job didn't know why he had bulls. Job didn't know why his wife lost her mind. Job didn't know why his friends turned on him. Job didn't know why he couldn't find God. But Job did know this. He said, I know that thou canst do everything. Let's get our eyes off our storm and get it back on our Savior. You'll get some help. When there's a glorious revelation, look at verse 6. Oh my, I can't skip this. Look at verse 5 with me. I'm going to show you the change that takes place in verse 5. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Are y'all with me? Now don't nobody get nervous. This is just preaching where I'm from. Everybody's like, he's listening. Any minute, get the defibrillator. No, don't be shocking me now. I'll be all right. Look at verse 5. Oh, I'm excited to show you verse 5. Look at your Bible. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. You don't know what the difference is? You see, help me now, preacher, if I'm wrong. But if I'm right about it, Job is chronologically the oldest book in your Bible. What I'm trying to say is that Job lived before Moses climbed up a Mount Sinai, brought down the written word of God. Job lived before Abraham. Job is the oldest, chronologically the oldest book in your Bible. And he did not have a copy of the word of God. Somebody say amen. He said, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Everything that Job had learned about God, he learned by second-hand information. Somebody say amen. Everything, his entire relationship with God was wrapped up in what somebody else told him. Hallelujah. You see, that was passed on from generation to generation. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, hallelujah. You see, preacher, I used to think that Job, this whole entire scenario, wasn't even about Job. You'd think the name had tipped me off. It's called Job. I used to think that it was some kind of a spiritual tug of war between God and the devil. Have you read chapter 1 lately? There was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. Whence comest thou, Satan? From going to and fro and up and down to the whole earth. Hast thou considered my servant Job? It's a showdown in glory land. Don't ask me how I know. Listen to me. It's one of the most interesting verses in your Bible. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Satan is not afraid of the presence of God. Now that's a different sermon for a different time. Let me just move on and say this to you. It looked like a showdown between God and the devil. A tug of war. Satan come trash talking to God. Said, yeah, the whole world's wicked. Oh yeah, you're doing a real good job, God, up here in heaven. That world, that blue-green planet you keep staring at, it's altogether wicked. I've been every corner of it, and they're all turned to ungodliness. God says, is that right? You been to Job's house, have you? Well, you know I ain't never been down there because you got that big old hedge around there. Can't get around. I looked in every nook and cranny side trying to get in that hedge. And I don't even know what's in there. I'm not glad Job went through what he went through, but I am glad to hear about the hedge, ain't you? Amen. Child of God, there's a hedge. There's a hedge! Hallelujah. That ought to help somebody. That ought to help somebody. There's a hedge, and the devil can only go so far. See, I used to think this whole thing wasn't even about Job. That God sicked the devil on Job because he wanted to show the devil something. How foolish. God ain't trying to help the devil. But he is interested in helping Job. I see it like this now. I see it like this. I bet God said, hey, Gabe, come here. I'm going to mess with the devil a little bit. I'm going to put this big old hedge around Job, and I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless the pudding out of him. It's in the originals. You got to look in the Strong's. Bless the pudding out of him. I'm going to bless him so good, it's going to make the devil green with envy. He can't stand it. He won't better stand it. He said, I'm going to bless Job. I'm going to bless Job. I'm going to pour it on him, and I'm going to put a hedge about him. And you just watch and see. The devil's going to be up here in any minute now. Yeah. And he walks in the door, and he just elbows Gabriel and says, right. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you think it was a spiritual tug of war too? Let me tell you something about the devil. On his best day, the devil is still God's devil. Hallelujah. Amen. And God did what God did because God's good at being God. He allowed the things that happened in the life of Job in order to develop a relationship with Job that is not based on second-hand information. Chapter 42 and verse number 5. He was living in the kindergarten level when he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, glory to God, on this side of my valley, on the outside of my trouble, as I've gone through this storm, and I see my God standing there. You say, where was God when the devil attacked Job? He was in the same place he was when God was blessing Job. He was sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and his train was filling the temple. Glory to God. And God wants to develop Job. He wants him to get off of that milk and move on to that meat. You see, preacher, I'm afraid that there's a whole lot of Christians that are living on second-hand information. Everything that they know about God is based on what the preacher told them. Thank God for what the preacher tells you. But you ought to get that Bible and go experience God for yourself. You ought to read it for yourself. You ought to know Him for yourself. I'm glad my relationship with God is not based on what Granny told me or what the preacher said.
I've walked with Him. I've talked with Him. I've felt His caress. I know Him. I know Him for myself.
You see Satan's appetite for destruction, but you see God's attitude for development. God wants to develop Job. Next time something bad happens in your life, why, instead of thinking, why God, did you do this to me? Think about it like this. Maybe He didn't do it to you. Maybe He did it for you. Maybe God wants to move you to another level. Maybe God wants to get you past the point of that free grocery crowd. Somebody say amen. Somebody that'll live for God in the times of the blessings. See, that's what Satan said. Satan said, God, Job, let me quote you what Satan said in chapter 1 and verse number 10. You've blessed him and he serves you because you've blessed him. Somebody say amen. And oh, Satan has enough time to study humanity, and he's right for the most part. There are some of them out there that are just coming to church for what they can get out of church. Some of them are serving God just for what they can get out of God. But oh, hallelujah, there's still a handful that'll serve Him when the sun shines, and will serve Him in the rain. They'll be there in the good times. They'll be there in the bad. They'll follow Him no matter what. That's exactly what God wants for all of us. He don't want you serving Him for His blessings. He wants you to serve Him because He deserves it. I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, some things have changed. It was a glorious revelation. Let me show you the result. There was genuine repentance. Look at verse number 6. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent. Dust and ashes. You see God for who He is, you'll see yourself for who you are. You see how good God is, you'll see how bad you are. That's the best thing ever happened to you. Couldn't nobody convince Job of his sin. Made them boys mad. Couldn't nobody convince him. Couldn't nobody see that Job had a problem. But when God showed up, he said, I'm unclean. When God showed himself, Job fell on his face. It's kind of like this right here. You ever said this? You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him about that. When I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about this. I don't understand this. When I get there, I'm going to ask him about it. That's what Job said. See, Job done a whole lot of talking in the book of Job. Just as much talking as his friends did. And he kept saying things like, oh, that I might come to his seat. You better be real careful trying to get to the judgment seat too early. Paul said, we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive the things done in our bodies, whether it be good or bad. The very next verse said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We persuade men. You better watch out for them to come and argue and cause your arguments to come before the Lord, which is what Job said. I would cause my arguments to come before Him. If He'd just show up, I'd make Him talk to me. I'd make Him answer some of His questions. And God did show up. God showed up in the whirlwind. And He says, Job, I heard you was looking for me. Now, what was it you was going to ask me about? Verse number 4, he says, here's what I want to say. This is what I've been praying about, talking to you about. This is what I'm going to say. This is what I'll declare to you. Nothing. Never mind. I ain't saying nothing. You know what you're going to do when you get to heaven? Hallelujah. You're going to enter into the celestial city, into that holy white city, wearing regal robes of righteousness, which sin will be no more, in a glorified body, with a glorified mind, a mind like unto God's. You'll know as you know. No more suffering, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more separation. We'll be in the land of the unclouded day.
God's going to come up to you and say, now what was it you wanted to talk to me about? You're going to say, God, for the life of me, I don't even remember what you're talking about. I can't remember no trouble. I don't remember no pain. I don't remember no sorrow. Have you seen my mansion? Look at this street of gold. Look at that wall of jasper. My mama's here. I'm walking with my grandma. I ain't seen her in years. Glory to God. 5 seconds on a street of gold. You'll forget about every trial. You'll forget about every problem. And the presence of God do the same thing for you over here. He repented. You know what Job's sin was? He spoke too soon. You ever done that? You ever done that? He just simply spoke too soon. He admits it in verse 3. I was talking about things I didn't quite understand. Things too wonderful for me. Honey, you can't put God in a shoebox. Figure Him out. He's way bigger than your mindset, your capacity to understand. He's so high He's got to come down to go to heaven. How do you like that? Stick that on your Facebook wall and like it. He's so high He's got to come down to go to heaven. Hallelujah. He's bigger than your concept of Him. So Job says, I'm sorry. He repents. There was a genuine repentance. Here's my last thought, and I'm done. I promise this is where I want to get to. Look with me at verse number 10, would you? You know when Job got his help? Verse 10 tells us. You know when Job got out of his valley? When Job put his sorrow in the rearview mirror. Verse number 10. Look at your Bible. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. Would you say those next words with me? When he prayed for his friends. Hallelujah. Amen. There was a great return. I'm going to preach this to you and I'll be done. There was a great return. A glorious revelation. A genuine repentance. And then a great return. And preacher, ain't that how it's supposed to be? That's how it's supposed to work. Those three steps. There was a great return. What am I talking about? Here's what the Bible said in verse 10. The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. You see, that seems to be Job's place of service. You know when Job got out of his valley? When Job got back to his place of service. Do you remember where we first met Job in chapter 1? Let me remind you tonight that he was up early that morning for the break of day. He was out there at the old altar of God. And he was out there with some sacrifices. He was praying on the behalf of others. Hallelujah. I won't tell you, and the Bible said this did Job often. Hallelujah. He'd done it all the time. Job would get up early in the morning and he'd go out and, you know, he'd say, preacher, it might just be that them youngins of mine, I don't know for sure, but it just might be. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to go ahead and pray just in case. I'm going to pray just, I don't know what they got him to, but I'm going to pray just in case. No, Job got down on his knees and began to call on God. Here's what Satan said in Job 1:10. He said, you blessed him for the work of his hands. Well, what business was Job in? He was in the prayer business. You see, that seems to be Job's ministry. Did you know that everybody has got a ministry? Everybody's got a place. But if you'll find that place, everybody's got a job. But if you'll do that job, if you'll find that place and you'll do that job, then God will open the windows of heaven and He'll bless you. I ain't telling you you're going to have a whole lot of money, but I'll tell you, you've got the blessings of God. You'll have the blessings of God upon you if you'll find that place of service and you'll do that thing that God has ordained for you to do, the thing that God wants you to do. Seems to be a prayer ministry for Job. And do you know when Job got help? When he prayed for his friends.
When he got back up into this time, up into this chapter right here, Job had been calling on God, but he'd been very selfish in his prayers. He'd been praying for himself. He'd been praying for his own trouble. I'm not trying to minimize your difficulty, but I'll tell you this. When Eliphaz the Temanite came to Job, he was under the wrath of God. Did you hear what God told him? He said, I'm going to deal with you after your folly. He said, my wrath is kindled against you, and I'm going to deal with you according to your folly, unless you get Job to pray for you. Somebody say amen. I know your troubles are bad. I know your problems are bad. But let's understand and consider that there's folks outside these four walls that are under the judgment of God. They're under the wrath of God. And if somebody don't pray for them, God will have to deal with them according to their folly. God forbid that we should be selfish in our praying. When he prayed for his friends. I wouldn't have called them friends. Let me say three things quickly and I'll be done. Now you knew that was coming. In order for Job to pray for his friends, I say must took some force. I say he had to make himself do it. What I'm trying to tell you is that Job did not feel like praying for them. They bring 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And they say, Job, we need you to pray for us. He's sitting there in that pile of ashes, scratching himself with that broken pottery. 10 graves in the backyard. His wife's not gnawing on a pine limb. And he looks up at them guys and says, you got to be kidding me. At least you got 7 bullocks and 7 rams. Mine got took. Mine's gone. Amen? I say he didn't much feel like praying. And I'm going to tell you something, honey. You ain't going to feel like fulfilling your ministry neither. And I'm not talking about just preachers. I'm talking about men and women and boys and girls. Before God laid the foundation for this world, He ordained a place of service for every one of you. And if you'll find that place, honey, and perform that duty, God will bless that. Sometimes you're going to have to make yourself do it. Sometimes you have to force yourself into it. Imagine he said, boys, y'all ought to be praying for me. Are y'all with me? You ever felt like that? Now, I have them call me up, preacher, and they say, preacher, pray for our family. My great-great-grandmama died. She's 107. My flesh wants to say, what, she wreck her Harley down at Daytona during bike week? What, she crack her neck doing backflips off the diving board at the old folks' home? Come on, somebody. I'm sitting here in a pile of a bunch of stuff I don't even know how to deal with myself. You need to be like Elsa and let her go. I feel like this section over here knows what I'm talking about. I'll never pastor again, will I, preacher? help me, Jesus. You thought it, I just said it. That's the difference between me and you. I mean, I got bigger problems than you have. I got bigger problems in my little pinky than you thinking about and you talking about coming, getting me, wanting me to pray for you. I don't feel like it. You know when Job got his help? When he forced himself to get up out of his misery and his wallowing and his self-pity and considered himself and thought about somebody else. I say it took some force. I say it took some faith. Faith, I say. Because Job had been calling on God for 37 chapters. And God hadn't showed up yet. And then when God did show up in chapter 38, He didn't bring him a single answer to a single question. You know, the book of Job's a book of questions without answers. Not one. Finally, God shows up. Finally, thank God. Now He's going to answer these questions. No, He just gives a whole bunch more questions. And He talks about Behemoth and Leviathan. Yeah, that's how I looked when I read it. I'm sitting here in this pile of ashes, and have you seen a bull? One be bad enough. I got him from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. And here you show up in this tornado, and you're talking about Behemoth and Leviathan. It ain't helping me. God, you ain't helping me right here. Come on, somebody. See, you thought it, I said it. That's the difference between me and you. Job, God hadn't answered Job yet. You see, here's the deal. Look at verses 7 and 8. God's conversation with Eliphaz the Temanite. Did you pick up on how God feels about Job? He said, go to my servant Job. I'll accept my servant Job. I'm a little mad at you because you didn't speak of the right thing like my servant Job did. So before I smack you upside your head, I want you to go to my servant Job. Because I like Job. I don't like you, but I like Job. So go to Job and get Job to pray for you, and I'll answer his prayers for you. I ain't answering your prayers. I'm going to talk to Job. I don't even want to talk to you because I like Job. Did you catch that? Did you catch how God felt about? He said, my servant Job. Go to my servant Job. I like my servant Job. But understand this. Job was not privy to that conversation, which seems to be the story of his life. Had he been in on the original conversation, when Satan came to God and heard God say, hast thou considered my servant Job? He's a perfect man and upright and escheweth evil and feareth God. If Job could have heard God say that, he could have went through this valley with a little bit more help. It wouldn't have been near as dark and near as bad. Am I right about it? Amen. Job was not privy to that conversation, so he had to pray for them by faith. And then I'm going to say this to you, and I'm done. In order for Job to pray for his friends, it had to take forgiveness. I'm not talking about the forgiveness of God. He's faithful and true, faithful and just to forgive us of all. Amen. I'm talking about Job's forgiveness of them. You see, because the last time we saw them, they called him everything in the book. They said he was a big, fat hypocrite. They said he was a liar and a cheat. He had skeletons in his closet. They said there had to be something bad wrong with you, Job, because God don't let things like this happen to righteous people. So won't you come off with it and stop pretending to be something you ain't and just go ahead and tell us what awful sin that you got in your life. They chewed him up one side and down the next. I would have never called them friends. But God did. Here they came back. They got mad at him when they couldn't convince him of his sin, and they stormed out. And then here they come back to him and they say, would you pray for us? And Job said, yeah, boys. Yeah. Yeah, give me them bullocks. I know what to do. I've done this before. This is all real familiar to me. I'm getting help helping you. Is what I'm getting help helping you. I'm helping you, and it's helping me at the same time. And I'm gonna tell you something, honey. You will die in your valley unless you forgive them. I don't know who them is, but you know who them is. I don't know who it is or what they done, but you will never. I'm going to tell you something. There ain't no room in the heart of a child of God for bitterness and unforgiveness and hate and anger and malice. There's no room, and we ain't got time for that. Listen to me. You'll die in your valley unless you're willing to forgive them. Job got his help when he got up out of his wallowing in self-pity and prayed for somebody else. Now, I know your problems are probably bad. I'm not trying to minimize them. But there's somebody else out there that's under the judgment of the wrath of God. And God wants you to pray for them. Amen? When Job got his help, you know the rest of the story. God blessed him. Amen. A glorious restoration. He blessed him. Gave him double for his trouble. gave him twice as much as he had before. Somebody came to me one time, preacher, when I made that statement about Job, and they said they're trying to be smart, and they said, well, he only gave him 7 sons and 3 daughters. He didn't give him twice as much as he had. I said, well, children are not cattle. He's got 7 sons and 3 daughters in glory. He's got 7 sons and 3 daughters. And the family circle will be unbroken by and by. And ladies, God blessed his wife. She got that whatever oil of Olay can't do. Somebody say amen. She got what Botox couldn't inject into her. Somebody help me right there. She got what Ponce de Leon searched Florida for. She found the fountain of youth. Hallelujah. So if God was mad at her, he had a funny way of showing it. You know what's good about this whole thing is? There was a whole lot of people that changed their mind. Job's friends changed their mind. Job's wife changed her mind. Job changed his mind. Satan changed his mind. How you like that? How you like them apples? Satan changed his mind. Skin for skin, all that a man hath will give to his own flesh. Touch his bone, he'll curse you to your face. We don't read the third time. And again, and again, again. There was a day when the sons of God came and Satan came also. No, we don't read about that because he ain't got no trash talking to do now. Because he's been found a liar. By the way, he's the father of that. Satan changed his mind. You know what's so good about this whole story is that God never changed his mind. God started out bragging on Job and he ended up bragging on Job. And we know Job had some problems, but here's the good thing about God. He don't call it like it is. He calls it like it's going to be. Aren't you glad God don't see you like you are? He sees you like you're going to be. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, Job's trials. There's probably, I say without a doubt, Father, there's folks in this building that's going through something. Something, and they can't find God. They can't see your hand. They cannot trace your steps through this thing. They can't feel you. Oh, God, help them to understand that you're weaning them off of feelings. And that you'll show up in the darkest hour of their midnight. Help them, I pray. Whatever it is they're going through, I pray, God, you'd be to them everything they need you to be, and then some. We'll give you the credit. We'll give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, would you stand?